Disclaimer. In this podcast, we discuss sexual themes in relation to cartoons. We are not here to explicitly sexualize the cartoons, but to talk about how exposure to these ideas in our youth evolved into the fetishes we have today. You're watching a cartoon. A cartoon about a rabbit being chased by a hunter. You're having strange feelings. This isn't quite what Chuck Jones had in mind. Welcome to Fetish Fuel.
Why is 6 afraid of 7? 'Cause 7 ain't 9.
I don't get it.
Episode 5. Clowns. Hello and welcome to episode 5 of Fetish Fuel. In this episode, we will be talking about clowns with special guest star, Rubber Shadow from New York. Let's get this started in the most millennial way. Give me your pronouns, introduce yourself.
Oh, hello. I'm Rubber Shadow, or Nathan, and I go by he, him, sometimes they. Mostly refer myself to they, but that's me.
Well, thank you very much for coming onto this show today. It has been a very long time since I have recorded an episode. I think it was maybe October or November of last year. I've just been very, very busy.
It's been the busy season. What can you do?
Well, it's because after COVID, we had those years of doing nothing, and then suddenly everything was happening at once. And I've been missing the era of doing nothing and having nothing to do.
Yeah, I feel like my favorite thing to do is nothing, even though I've been doing nothing for so long. So it's my ultimate procrastination time right now.
So, yes, let's get right into this then. So obviously we're here to talk about your kink of clowns, but you're quite an eclectic fellow. So do you want to give us just a rundown of your favorite kinks? Give us your live recon profile.
Yes, totally. I definitely have a list in my notes app that I just copy paste when everyone's like, what's your kinks? I'm like, oh, here, let me give you the play-by-play of like the basic ones. But what I'll say is, for me, transformation is always the number one umbrella kink of all things. I love rubber. I love transforming into a clown. That is definitely one of the very niche ones. ABDL, playful humiliation, things like that, even hypnosis, all of that are kind of the roundabout kinks, but a lot of things break out into multiple kinks once you get more specific, whether that's pup play or even just being a drone or a gimp, BDSM, a little bit of everything.
We are certainly in the era these days where everyone is into everything.
Yes.
I mean, just this year, I've been doing that one art project, which is the Fetish Wheel of Kinks.
I love it, because that's how my brain feels, honestly, is just, you know, I'm feeling a bit kinky tonight, but, like, what kink am I feeling tonight? And sometimes I just kind of scroll through Twitter and go, yep, okay, that's my mood tonight. We're going with Rubber Pup tonight. Who knows what the next night will be.
Well, one of the ones I drew was because of you, which was the himbo sex clown.
Yeah, yes. I saw that and went, is it? I didn't know, but I'm just going to pretend like it's me, because it feels like me, and I'm happy with that.
Well, I've been joking this year that if I had a fursona, it would basically just be a Rubik's Cube, but honestly, so whether it's a Rubik's Cube or a Boggle Cube, it's definitely something which you shake around and just slam on the floor.
To see what comes out.
You said hypnosis there. With hypnosis in the world of kink, there are two families with that, where there are people who like the fantasy of it, and then there are people who actually enjoy really doing it. Have you had much experience in practical hypnosis yourself?
Yes, a little bit here and there. Growing up, I tried doing a lot of just self-audio YouTube videos and stuff, and you know, one time, this is way back in high school, you know, try doing a video on the home computer, and my mom catches me, watches it, and she's like, don't ever do that. Very Christian mom. It's like, that's horrible. And of course, that only made me want me to do it more.
Do you remember what that video was?
Oh, no, I don't. I mean, very much like black and white spiral, as far as like what the trigger was or what the video itself was. Like, probably pretty innocent of, I don't know, a lot of those YouTube videos back then were clickbaity of like, you will now follow me and you will watch all of my videos and leave a comment, like like very much like becoming a YouTube slave to their videos.
And it worked.
I you know what, maybe you're right. But in later years, I've actually had a couple of practical experiences in person, and I feel like in person works a bit better for me. I've gone deep a couple times, but I definitely think I can go deeper, but it takes time and practice for me.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I've done some hypnosis myself where I'm the hypnotist, and there's just so much more of a theatrics and intimacy to doing an in-person session, whereas when you're doing it via headphones just by a computer, you can walk away from that at any point you like.
Right.
Whereas being in a position, it's like you don't need to be tied down, but you're a bit tied down just by the expectation that you were there to perform for this person.
For sure. And I also just generally enjoy the role playing space, regardless if I can actually be hypnotized, but like to say watch a more brainwashing-esque video that can just visually stimulate me and get me in that headspace. And then, like, maybe that is a bit of partial hypnosis, but like you said, I can just walk away from that anytime.
I mean, I know plenty of people when they're doing bondage sessions, they will just pull up videos by like EMG or Vive. And it's like, it's not about actually hypnotizing that person. It's just about putting them into that headspace of, I can't move and this is the only thing I can hear.
For sure. One of the trippiest things that I did, which I'm excited to try more of, was kind of a self-hypnosis audio where it was a BDSM scene in bondage, but beforehand recorded about 5 minutes of a loop of just me talking to myself using hypnotic words like, you are a toy, but it's all my voice. And then while I recorded it, put a little bit of binaural beats in it, and it just loops for about 40 minutes of just me talking to myself in my internal head and being in the bondage, a little bit of poppers. Was like, oof, like I am hypnotizing myself in a weird way. It was very great.
In the words of my people, horny.
Yes. It was great. 10 out of 10, we'll do it again.
But yeah, with hypnosis, it often comes down to just trying to put some white noise in that void while you're doing BDSM in some way or another.
Well, depending on the mood, if it's if it's, you know, trying to be put in a specific headspace, different background noises can help. And there's definitely times where it might not be like actual hypnosis words, but like just the binaural beats, or say even if we're getting into that clown space, like a little bit of hypnotic circus music has definitely helped me get into that space.
Well, we're not here to talk about hypnosis. We are here to talk about clowns.
Yes.
So let's move on to that topic swiftly. I can't say that I have much experience with clowns, but as someone who has been on the internet for a very long time looking at fetishes, clowns have always been there. I remember myself going onto websites like writing.com and Choose Your Own Change, and there being so many clown-related stories. And it was always so strange to me that there was this huge subculture related to clowns. So if you want to start this topic of conversation off with, how did you stumble upon clowns, do you think?
Oh, honestly, like, that first official trigger could not tell you what that thing that inspired this, but definitely when I was a kid and could start having wet dreams, I had the mother of all wet dreams of being transformed into a clown, and it was the most, like, it made my whole childhood fascinated with being turned into a clown and not telling a soul the whole
Let's
time.
Enter into the audiobook portion of this conversation then. What was that dream?
Okay, I'll break it down. So we'll say 13, 14, and I climb into this treehouse. We're on this vacation, whatever, and I'm escaping from my family. Go up into this treehouse, and lo and behold, it's this big space where the Joker has tied up and stolen all of my friends. And then I'm tied up, and Batman is in a corner, and he's tied up, and he can't do anything. Joker starts monologuing. And then he proceeds to, you know, turn to stage left. There's a big stage light. And then all of my friends come out, and they're all dressed as clowns. Clown makeup, clown getup, everything. And then he proceeds to take a tank of laughing gas and fill this big orange balloon all the way full as if it's helium, but it's laughing gas inside. He paints a clown face on this orange balloon. It's like a little translucent. And he grabs me and he takes the balloon, face paint first, and shoves it into my face and just slowly absorbs into my face, and then just my whole head starts to expand a little bit with just a little bit of the balloon sticking out at the top. And my face starts to change, my nose starts to swell, my clothes change, gloves start appearing, clown shoes starts appearing, and then I just get this extremely lightheaded feeling and just can't stop laughing. And that's the dream. And not only that, but subsequent future dreams, maybe not all of them were wet dreams, but those like balloons would just follow me in my dreams. And I knew that if those balloons touched me, they would try to turn me into a clown. It was so weird. I had multiple reoccurring dreams of just dreaming about whatever. Then I'd open up a room and then all of a sudden these balloons would just start trying to attack me.
Well, that sounds like a stunning dream. So was this a recurring dream, or do you just remember this one dream and then you fought about it ever since?
So definitely that one specific dream happened once, but then I remember as a kid wanting to just like have more clown dreams, because I couldn't, as a kid, couldn't quite convince myself or others around me to experience actually doing face paint or anything like that. So I try to just like think about clowns and then try to convince myself to have a dream. And then every once in a while I would have like a Halloween dream and I'd be like, great, I gotta do a costume, and I just like run to the store, try to find face paint, and like being so disappointed because like the dreams are like teasing me of like, ooh, you might try to be a clown, but then it's like, nope, you can't this dream. I'm like, dang it. But other dreams, like it would be, oh, you know, playing on the playground with kids, then all of a sudden like these balloons would come in as if like alien invaders and then just start absorbing people and turning them into clowns, and I was like, take me next. Take everyone except for me. It was just so teasing. But yeah, the balloons, they followed me wherever.
Oh, there was this really lovely comic that Brizzy Comics did for Rubberzone once. I don't know if you ever saw it, but it was like the Latex Boy Academy.
No, I haven't seen that one.
It's behind a paywall, but if you ever do sign up for Rubberzone, oh, it was such a fabulous comic. It's about this academy where boys go to learn to be like sex slaves. But it's very like, it's kind of high school slice of life feeling. And the comic storyline is all about how the headmaster is brainwashing the students to become sex dogs. And through that, everyone around this one guy is becoming a sex dog, and he's really annoyed because he's like, oh, my collar clearly isn't working. Do me. And you just really relate with that character.
Yeah, I mean, that was my whole childhood. I grew up religious and Mormon, and so I was really a good Mormon boy and just did not do anything naughty. And so a lot of these kinks, especially this transformation clown kink, was really a fascination growing up until I finally discovered my sexuality and then actually what, sex was like. And it was like, oh, this is arousal and this is something that I'm into, not just a fascination, but something that can, turn me on and get me off and whatnot.
You mentioned balloons a lot there. Do you think you have a fetish for balloons as well, or do you think they were just a visual related to that kink? Because I know that lunas are a huge fetish
For
thing.
sure. I think for me, it's not, even though as a kid that was definitely the visual trope, I don't think now I relate as much to Lunar, but that's definitely, like, there's never just one kink and one visual or one way that I'm fantasizing. It always sort of overlaps with other kinks. So, it's not a specific one for me, but like, I'm also not gonna say no if like the wheel of kink spins and it's in between Lunar and Clown. I'm like, okay, that works for me.
Well, I've certainly seen you get into one of the full body balloons before.
Oh, yes, that was really fun. That like, I'm all about what's the weird, fantastical, kooky way to transform into something. And that definitely Lunar Space is a very fun, very sort of diabolical way of transforming, especially if it's like into a, I don't know, I think the post that I did was, it's like, oh, I'm trying out this egg balloon thing, and then it just starts shrinking, and then I turn into the clown nose. Like, stuff like that's just fun and silly. I love it.
So, let's get on to the TV guide then. As a kid, like, I definitely know that I came across a lot of cartoons which had clowns in them. From two of the ones which stand out to me are Totally Spies, which
Yes.
I think there was a clown villain in that who, but like, he was constantly trying to turn people into mimes.
Yes, exactly.
And I know that mimes and clowns are two separate things, but in the world of cartoons, they definitely are from the same school.
Oh yeah, cut from the same cloth. One's just a bit more silent than the other, but they're both goofy, they're both silly. Mime and clown, they're interchangeable for sure.
And I vaguely remember a Powerpuff Girls episode which had clowns in it, but I can't shape it in my head into what it was actually about. I just know that there was a clown episode.
That one's a bit interesting because it's a mime, or it's like it's a clown, or at least this is the one that I'm thinking of from the Powerpuff Girls, is that there's this ink truck that crashes and it runs into this very colorful, very rainbow clown and gets hit by this like not ink machine, but like one of those like desaturates color, whatever that is. So like all the color runs out of him and he turns black and white into this sad black and white mime, and then he turns everyone else without color and without sound. So like it's a almost a reversal transformation, but it's still for me it's a transformation regardless. And then eventually the Powerpuff Girls, with the power of love and song, turn the evil black and white mime back into a happy, colorful clown. The happy ending
That is
there.
definitely tickling some memories in my mind. And then the only other major clown thing I can remember off the top of my head is it was in the first series of Digimon, Pietmon, who was one of the Dark Masters, and
Oh.
He was turning the heroes of the show into keychains. So
Oh.
that's not turning into clowns, but just that kind of
But that,
cosmic power of.
yes. Something sinister and kind of circusy, but then turning someone else into something else. Yeah, I like that.
There's definitely a theme running through cartoons where the clown is always the villain. You can see why people are so scared of them.
It's really a unfortunate trope that clowns get a bad rep, and like, and to each their own. Everyone has their own opinions, whether they like something or don't like something, and then even how they like or don't like something for me, it's a bit more of that transformation aspect that really lures me. If, you know, the average birthday clown walks by, unfortunately for me, I am not going to get a boner. But, you know, for others, they might. But for me, it's about like that sinister aspect of being turned into something laughable and into something like playfully humiliating and goofy, where I become the mindless laughable clown. Like, to me, I love that. I was looking through some research, and an old episode of Thundercats came to mind. Such a weird episode where like this bounty hunter named Bragg comes into town, and he's also a circus theme for whatever reason. So he's a bounty hunter with a circus space train.
Mm-hmm.
And he hypnotizes Wile E. Cat, one of the younger Thundercats, just by rotating both of his eyes, very spiral-esque, but just like just his eyeballs. And that's enough to hypnotize Wile E. Cat to work for his circus train to capture all of these, all the different Thundercats and whatnot. And there's that one point when this circus bounty hunter turns Wile E. Cat into this mannequin puppet clown.
I do love a puppet.
Oh, it, just the two lines underneath the mouth. But it's so perfect because he's got the clown makeup and the two lines. And he's, in this case, he's not actually transformed into it. It's all an act, but regardless, he's hypnotized. And it's all an act to just trick one of the Thundercats to get captured with handcuffs. But it's such an iconic looking scene, and it's really great.
I don't actually recall ever watching Thundercats. I don't know if it was ever on here in the UK, or at least not on any of the channels I was watching, but I do hear a lot of people talk about it as like their furry awakening because it's big buff lion men.
Oh, 100%. I kind of want to watch Thundercats again just for that.
I had the same thing with Gargoyles, where I only saw very odd episodes of that one. Yes. But again, just really buff cartoon characters. They just don't put the heroes in muscle anymore like they used to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's so many TV shows that inspired so much. I think for me, the obvious place of a lot of these kinky clown transformations that were very sinister tone was Batman, the animated series that the is it Mark Hamill is the voice of Joker?
He
in
is.
That
he loves being a villain so much. Just this week I started rewatching the Spider-Man series from the 90s.
Oh, okay.
And Mark Hamill's in that one as Hobgoblin.
Oh, that's so perfect. I did not know that.
But like, he has a very specific villain voice, and I was just watching this episode and I couldn't place where the voice was, so I had to Google it and I was like, of course it's Mark Hamill.
Well, I got such I was so thrown off when I first saw the recent Star Wars movies with, you know, him going back as Luke Skywalker. Because he's older in general, but I had just been watching some Batman episodes and then watched that, and I was so thrown as like, oh, he's totally going to be the villain, even though he's cast as the good guy. I just could not get past his sinister voice.
Let's dive into some Batman then. What do you remember? For me, I can remember the Return of the Joker movie, because that one's all about Robin getting strapped down and forced into a Joker clone.
100%. Like that, I think that's really the most iconic one because of that, or of Robin itself. That there's, is it Tim Drake? There's so many Robins, it's hard to keep track of which Robin it is.
I think but it I, might be Tim, yeah. Because I, yeah, it is, because I remember he's back as the adult at the end and he's called Tim.
Yes, yes. Right, because there's technically kind of two transformations in that movie. There's him when he's young Robin, and he's abducted and almost brainwashed and turned into this Joker kid. And then, you know, come in the future, Batman Beyond, when everyone's older and it's future tech, that Tim Drake gets this experimental DNA altering microchip placed on him, and it slowly gives him Joker DNA, and he turns into the Joker.
Batman Beyond was absolute fetish fuel. I remember I think one of the villains was called Ink, and they were made of like actual ink.
Yes.
Then there was I can't remember what he was called, but there was the hypnosis guy who was made of spirals.
Oh, I totally forgot about him. Because I also just go with all of the essentially the Joker gang, where they're all inspired, you know, even though they're not transformed necessarily, but they're all followers and they all wear different clown makeup and get up, and they're just like this punky clown. I don't know, it's a really cool aesthetic.
I just love Batman so much because the villains put so much effort into their henchman visuals. Like, they have a uniform, they have a style guide.
Yes. Well, so I was watching earlier one of the episodes where Joker doesn't necessarily turn others into clowns, but one of his staples is just the uncontrollable laughing gas. And the episode's called The Last Laugh. And it's such a weird premise where it's April Fool's Day, and the Joker with his lackeys have this it's a ship that has trash. Like, it's just a cargo, like transporting trash. But the smell of the trash is what is making everyone go crazy and just laugh uncontrollably. And the Joker has his henchmen, and they all have clown masks that have like gas masks. And, you know, it's all in one, that it's just one giant mask that is a gas mask, but it also looks like a clown face.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Joker has like this bubble mask, because you got to see the Joker face. And it's, you know, Batman trying to take them all down while there's this trashy, stinky laughing gas affecting all of Gotham. It's a great episode.
Just on the Batman thing, I was playing one of the new Batman games recently. I think it was, wasn't Arkham City? Assault on Arkham? One of the recent ones anyway. And in it, mm-hmm. what happens is the Joker is dead, because he died in one of the previous games. And
spoilers.
I know, this game's been out for like 8 years though.
No, for sure.
But yeah, so the Joker's dead, but in this game, the main villain is Scarecrow, and he kind of activates something in Batman's brain which causes the Joker to kind of possess him. But through the game, Batman keeps seeing the Joker in front of him as like his imaginary friend, and he's just constantly being like, oh, just give me control, give it to me. It's hot.
I like that. I have not seen that. You're gonna have to send me that game. I might have to do some research.
But no, the banter between them, and it's all about control of Batman's body.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of it, it has this whole scene where he has to destroy the Joker inside of his brain, but one of the endings kind of shows the Joker fully in control of Batman and retheming all the Batman stuff to be Joker stuff, and just yummy. Yum, 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 yum.
That's great. I love all the visual tropes that Joker has. Just all of his... I mean, that's half the fun with a transformation, is just how is it going to happen and who is doing it. And the Joker is just extremely iconic. And he just, like, has pies, and he has laughing gas, and he has TNT with his face on it. And just all sorts of goofy tropes, like punching bag guns, and
he's a villain who puts effort into his branding.
Yes, and it shows, and it's amazing. And any one of those tools that could turn me into his henchman, I'm up. Sign me up.
I can certainly see the arousal of the lack of control and the loss of control in becoming a clown, specifically that uncontrollable laughter, and no matter what is happening around you, you can't stop laughing.
Yes, it's just that total lack of control, that you just give in and it's just bliss. But it like others around you are, you know, essentially normal, but then you just become this hysterical laughing. You just can't stop. I love it. It's great.
So I have your list of cartoons up in front of me right now. What would you like to talk about next?
Oh, I would love to talk about Arl Stein's The Haunting Hour.
I do not know what this is. Is that a Goosebumps thing?
Yes. So this was like, if I remember right, this is essentially like Arl Stein's Goosebumps, but for teenagers. So like ever so more angsty and kind of more pushing that envelope. But it's just an extension of Arl Stein's storytelling. And one of the episodes is called Afraid of Clowns. It's such a good episode that you have this boy who is just afraid of clowns. He had a really traumatic experience when he was younger, and he's about to have his 13th birthday. And it's so, it's a, I think at least a 30-minute episode. And throughout the whole episode, this anticipation of his birthday coming up, that he's just like slowly stalked by all these clowns, and no one believes that all these clowns are following him, and his parents are being very coy and like essentially like, oh, you're 13, you know, things are going to be changing, and very hinting at like puberty. Mm-hmm. And like him just like avoiding the discussion. No, I don't want to talk about it. And he has a friend who's a girl who he likes. And they're very shy and cute, and she wants to do something for his birthday, so she gets him a ticket to the circus. And, you know, terrified, doesn't want to go, has a best friend, and best friend convinces him this is the way to get the girl. It's like, fine, I'll conquer my fear, I'll go to the circus on his 13th birthday. And then, you know, the show starts, there's all these clowns, and all of a sudden, you know, the main stage ringlinger, who's also a clown, is like, we have a very special birthday, and the stage lights all turn off except for one spotlight, and it hovers on him, and he's just, like, terrified. He's like, no, I don't want to participate. And so, with a little bit of encouragement from the audience, he gets pulled onto the stage. And so he's just surrounded by all these clowns. And he's just freaking out, but trying to be a good sport. And they put him inside this box. And it's like basically a jack-in-the-box, but just really big. And it has these mirrors and a platform that he sits on in the center. And when it goes down and they close the box, they start turning the crank of the jack-in-the-box. And he starts spinning inside and they start counting down. And you know, he gets all wibbly wobbly and disoriented, and the lights and the spinning and everything. And when he finally pops out, he pops out as a clown. And everyone's laughing and he's confused and disoriented. And then finally the clowns around him performing show him a mirror, show himself, and he's just
oh, I so freaking love a mirror moment.
Oh, it's so great. And then of course, you know, they're throwing multiple mirrors, different clowns have different moments. And then the main clown throws up a picture frame that's empty. And, it, you know, essentially it's just showing the clown leader as if he's him. Like, you know, very gag joke. He puts the frame over his head. It's like, haha, you're me. And the kid is not having it at all. He's freaking out. He pushes the clowns away. He runs away backstage. And he tries to get the makeup off, and he gets even more confused. It's like, it's not coming off. And then his parents emerge from behind the stage, and he's like, hey, like, we didn't have that talk. And and then they pull off their human masks, and they're also clowns. And the twist of the spooky episode is that they're actually clown people, that they wear human masks to blend into society, but they're all clowns. And so on this kid's 13th birthday, he gets to morph into a clown Because that's, you know, what I guess clown people do on their 13th birthday with puberty.
That is such a classic Goosebumps ending.
Oh, it's, and then, you know, that he freaks out and all the clowns descend upon him. And that's how the episode ends. It's such a good episode. And, you know, the hair's real. The, you know, the, he's got clown smile, clown nose, white makeup, the outfit. It's great. And he's a really cute actor too. So any cute boy in forced clown makeup is iconic for me. Yeah, no, that episode, even though it's fairly recent, that's 2011, but that was a great source of entertainment for a while.
But I guess it is just that complete otherness of what clowns are, and also the humiliating aspect of you don't want to be a clown. So being forced to behave that way, speak that way, and think that way, it's like, it's not as humiliating as, like, when you, within our world, there's things like sex dogs and gimps and this whole thing of being a slave and being forced to think that way. But clownery is a specific way of acting in the real world where it's a career.
Right. Where it's not just for this 1 hour you will be the sex dog and do what I say. This is who you are now. It's a bit more at your core versus just an evening. Or at least that's the fantasy, or can be one of the fantasies. Because there's a few different examples of just like, oh no, I'm turned into a clown. And you still have a bit of your humanity before you've descended into, you know, fool, tomfoolery, buffoonery action where you're trying to fight. Like, no, I won't be a clown. And then someone offers you a pie. And it's like, oh, but I actually do want that pie in my face. And then you just completely shut off and accept that this is all that I want to do, all that I want to be, and take the pie to the face.
On that topic, you've got Dexter's Lab written down here on your list. And that's an episode I absolutely do remember because it was about were-clowns.
Yes.
And I fucking love when werewolf tropes are used in any way other than a werewolf.
Right.
Because it's such a fun concept that there's a thing you can't avoid each month.
It's so weird that the clown in the episode has, like, denture teeth.
So for people who've not seen this episode, what happens is Dexter goes to his sister's birthday party and there's a clown there. And the clown is clowning around and Dexter, being the really serious little kid he is, doesn't understand why this clown is funny. And the clown trips over and his teeth fall out and bite Dexter on the arm, which causes Dexter to become a were-clown. And through the episode, he starts laughing a lot because he never laughs at anything because he's this really serious kid. But he's laughing at the weirdest stuff until it climaxes with him turning into a clown in the middle of the night.
And then he proceeds to be a clown and do clown jokes and all the, like, the clown act, essentially, after once he's transformed.
Then in the morning, he sees the newspaper talking about this clown, and he's like, oh, I don't know who that is, and Dee Dee points out, oh, it's you. So he has to try and work out a way to remove the clown from his body.
Which, I don't remember how that episode ends.
Me either. I very much like the concepts always of these identities being separate entities in your mind, which are trying to take control.
Yes, it's very Jekyll and Hyde, but Hyde is a clown. But just the idea of the thing that you transform into is just this dumb clown. But that juxtaposition of, no, I'm serious, straight-faced, like, why would I be anything else? And then that forced upon you to become so ridiculous and carefree and stupid and dumb and funny. Like, I love that juxtaposition. I think that's honestly one of the biggest turn-ons for a clown transformation is that huge difference in who you become, who you were and who you become.
Within transformation, we always love a huge difference in the two characters. And for clowns specifically, it is a case of, would you rather be hanging out with this serious, straight-faced guy or the clown who's clearly a great time to be around?
Clearly.
No one wants to hang out with you.
Yeah, sign me up. I'll be a were-clown.
You don't want to be a were-clown. You want to be a permanent clown.
Ooh. See, there's always that, like, I ride on the line of fantasy versus that reality. And the fantasy of that becoming the permanent truth, very hot. And then that just inkling of thinking about the actual reality, it's like, ooh, I don't know if I could actually do that. But the fantasy still lives on, regardless.
Out of interest, because obviously you do dress up as a clown here and there for your kink reasons, have you ever clowned another person? Or played with another clown?
Not yet, but I have a few online friends that will clown around and joke about it, and even, you know, kind of go through a, I hate the word sext, but like, you know, you're essentially creating a improv texting scene of like, this is what I would do to you, and you kind of egg on each other. So in person, haven't done that yet. I have a few friends that 100% I would do that for and to. Just haven't had that reality just yet.
So what kind of thing would be your dream session then with this?
Oh, goodness.
Because obviously you are the head clown here, so you're in charge.
If we're going to go full-on fantasy versus the practice, because there's the practicality of it, well, you know, makeup can take a bit of time to get on, get it right. Like, I'm going to avoid that reality scenario and just make it full-on fantasy if I could. So, for me, if I am the masterful clown that is going to transform one of my friends into a clown, I think one of my favorite ways is just through a kiss, where, you know, they get so tempted. It's like, no, you want to kiss me as the goofy clown? Like, okay. And, you know, when they kiss, then it's like, okay, now they have a nose. It's like, uh-oh, what's happening to you? And that you just keep going. And the more you kiss, the more saliva and everything else that they just transform more and more until they're finally like full-on realized clown, makeup and all. Give them a suit, and now you can just play around as clowns. Like, to me, that's very hot. But I really just can't pick one way, because I also just kind of want to slam a huge pie into someone's whole body, not just their face, but just like huge pie. And when they emerge out of the pie and you like wash them off, that, you know, they emerge fully transformed as a clown. Like, that would be hot. But I have to say, like, when it comes to transformation, there are the fantasies of being the one initiating the transformation into someone else, the more dom side. Mm-hmm. And then there's, of course, plenty of fantasies where you are the one being forced to transform, the more submissive side. And I lean probably a bit more like 20-80, 80% being, no, transform me. I mean, no, don't transform me. Uh-oh.
But when it does come down to these niche kinks where you're kind of the only person who knows what you like, you end up being the dom in these situations just because you've got to be the one to take control of the narrative.
Exactly. Exactly. 100% right.
It's like hypnosis is one of my big kinks, but when I've even done role play with people, I very much avoid role play these days just because I get too controlling. Over wanting very specific words to be used. But, like, I know exactly what will get me hard and the creative ideas I have, and then other people, usually in role plays, end up falling into the trap of, and then what?
For sure. I think for me that I feel like I'm still exploring how I like to express these kinks with others, because it's so... it's just easy to use my own head to look at visuals on my phone and put me in that headspace myself. Mm-hmm. And just fantasize what either I would do to someone else or what would happen to me. But then finding someone that with such a niche kink to trust them to be able to express that with them. So like I've dabbled here and there where, you know, have someone over, have them try on some clown shoes or a clown nose. And that's about as far as we'll take it. I have not put anyone in makeup or like full on clown costume or anything like that, because I still feel like I'm figuring out what I would enjoy together in a headspace without being able to fully give that trust and be able to just let go and not be inside my own head, worrying if they are enjoying it or not. I don't know. I get very empathetic when I play, and I want both of us to be in the same space and the same, like, enjoying ourselves because of the specific kinks that we're working with.
This is certainly one of the flaws with transformation as your main kink, where most of it is not practical and very much in the world of imagination, where you constantly have to keep communicating with each other to know you're on the same page with where you want something to go.
For sure. And I've learned a few things that can at least help me make it a bit more real. Like, you know, to each their own. For me, I think pretty much last year was the first time that I tried weed. And for me, that was just a very physical way to say, take this thing, an edible or smoke or whatnot, and then put yourself, or like, you know, be forced to be in this goofier, dumber state temporarily. I was like, why haven't I done this sooner? This totally fits my bill of kinks. And so every once in a while, with whether it's myself or with a friend, being like, all right, I want to get stoned, and this is sort of the, like, let's get me goofy. Like, the goofier you can get me tonight, the better. And even Poppers does that too, but, you know, on a very short note versus, you know, being stoned is a bit more of a few hours thing versus Poppers is like 5 minutes max and then, you know, take another hit sort of thing. But I have to be selfish and say that combining the two, oof. Generally, sometimes when stoned, you know, like, it'll be a visual high or a mental high or a body high, or even like your tastes are enhanced. But the same can be true with smells. And there have been times when I've been stoned and then and have huffed Poppers, and it's like, oof, this is more than I felt before. Okay. And it sends me even more in a loop than if I was just to do Poppers without weed. So it's a double, like, it double stacks the moment, and it feels great.
We'll be right back after these messages.
What does a tick and the Eiffel Tower have in common?
Is your special brand of comedy just not fully appreciated?
They're both parasites! Oh, come on, you people have no taste!
New Acme Quick Dispersal Laughing Gas has you covered.
Code Green, deploy the gas.
What's a pirate's favorite letter? R!
Acme, always here to help you do more with, less.
Anyway, we are back from the break, so let's keep talking about clowns. Give us your best clown laugh.
Oh, goodness. No. I'm more of a yucker than a full-on laughter. But I love a good
What is your clown name? I know that I've seen it written down somewhere.
Oh, I've thought about this forever, and I've landed on Rubbo. Rubbo the Dumbo, or Rubbo the Clowno, and just being the rubber clown. So that's where I came up with a name, at least.
Obviously, you do dress up as a clown here and there. Let's talk about that.
Oh, goodness, yes. I have so much clown stuff laying about. I had a family came to visit, and they just, like, opened up a closet. They would have questions.
Well, you're quite a broad kinkster anyway, so was it the clown stuff that they actually took notice of? Or is that just a thing you have lying around?
Definitely hit everything. Between the rubber, the clown stuff, diapers and ABDL, I don't know which particular kink, if they like saw, and even just like the backgrounds and photo shoot stuff, like if they saw that, out of all of those, what would be the hardest to explain? And I feel like diapers would probably be the, I don't know, I could also say it's practical in some way, but overall, I just don't want them to find it. Clown stuff would be like, oh, this is a hobby that I'm not sharing with you. Or rubber, oh, it's an aesthetic thing. And diapers, I'd be like, oh, well, I'm actually wetting the bed, even though I'm not. Anyway, I've tried to have these conversations of like, what if they found out, what would I say? And in the end, I just go, they're never going to find out. Let's just keep it up with that.
I do see this conversation going around quite a lot, actually, where people want to come out to their parents about their kinks. And it makes me personally uncomfortable because it feels like people think it's a part of their identity that they actually have to share. Whereas kinks can just be a thing which is for you and you alone. And it's this secret thing you have for you. It's not got to be something you post about on Facebook.
For sure. And I'm trying to find a balance of that where, you know, I think regardless if we replaced kink with another hobby, I don't think everyone needs to share everything about their life with everyone, including their parents or their family. That, you know, if I was just a vanilla gay guy, I'm not going to be talking about who I had sex with to my parents. I don't want to hear about their sex life. So, like, I think we all have a filter, and I think it's perfectly normal not to cross that line, but mm-hmm. to each their own.
On that topic of people having private lives, I've not done an episode on pup play yet here at Fetish Fuel, but it's one I want to do. And I bring up pup play because it's one of those things where people do have a mask that they wear, and I really mm-hmm, respect mm-hmm. people who I've never seen their faces. Because they put so much effort into creating this identity and they want to be known exclusively by that in the fetish space. You get the same thing with gimps, but it's so impressive when people do manage to maintain that secret identity.
For sure. I'll ask you this, from the side of clown kink, do you wreck it? Because I also share my face on social media with all of my kinks in general, whether it's rubber, pup play, or whatnot. You see my face. But when you see me in clown makeup, do you necessarily recognize it as me?
I'd probably say no, just because it's such heavy makeup. And I saw a fabulous article once explaining how to get by facial recognition software because of ways you can paint your face.
Interesting.
With like black bricks over your face, because it means that computers don't recognize what they're looking at. And I think it's one of those things where as soon as you put a certain amount of things over your face, it no longer looks like you. I mean, I've seen people, obviously in gay world, drag is huge right now, and you see people
for sure
in drag, and even when they're just getting ready and they've put foundation all over their face and they look blank, it's really interesting what you can do to your face to not look like you.
For sure. As you know, I see me and I go, I can recognize myself. Even with the clown makeup, I can still see me, but, you know, it is a transformation. It is a mask, but so curious to see if, you know, I would never do this, but say like, you know, a vanilla friend or family and just be like, oh, here's this picture of this clown. Could they recognize it as me or not? I don't want to dare even try that, but like in a sort of in that pup space where you can design your own look and aesthetic and puphood and outfit, I think the same can be said in the clown space, or in whether it's transformation or just a specific clown. You know, you don't have to have a specific pup name or specific clown name, but you can. It can add to that fun, to that persona, potentially. For me, I spent a long time just looking at different ways to paint the face with clown makeup. And
well, I remember you making a post about it, saying to people which faces did they prefer while you were trying to design your look.
Yeah, and I had a friend or two just like help do some like Photoshop real one, like take a blank non-makeup picture of me and just paint my face in a whole bunch of different ways and just help see me as like, how do I identify myself as a clown? Like, and I feel like there are others more qualified to talk about like actual, I haven't been to clown college or anything like that. Don't think I ever will. But there are more others educated in clown. But I can generally say that there's like a white face clown where it's full face, neck even, covered in white with makeup on, or with more makeup and details on top. There is a ghost clown. I think that's how you pronounce it. Apologies if it's not. But it's more of like mostly not makeup, but then you have specific white patches, usually around your mouth and your eyes, then more smaller details on top. And then you have a hobo clown, and that's more of like whether you actually have a beard and then you're just adding a bit more features to become more clown, or you're painting black to have the sort of ragged beard look. Generally a bit more of like a sadder clown look, but regardless, all clowny. For me, definitely a ghost clown was the style that I liked. But even then, just what you're doing, how you paint your face, what features you're trying to emphasize, that every face is different. So it took a lot of practice, but finally found something that I liked, and I have a few posts in that style. But I don't know, I'm always trying to see what new things or what looks better, or what could I do differently. But I don't know.
Have you actually gone out to any events yet dressed as a clown?
No, I do want to though. I the most that I've done in clown makeup in sort of a public sense was I actually did a live sex show a few weeks ago on Cam 4, and it was through Frock the World. They have an Instagram. It's like this kinky zine. Know the photographer in Brooklyn and have shot with him before. And then we just did this live sex scene with just myself in rubber clown outfit, makeup. And so that's the most public I've done, but I haven't gone to an actual event with other kinksters in full clown outfit, clown makeup. But
I guess it is one that doesn't usually make the dress code.
Well, I think for a kinky event, I think depending on the day and the time and who I'm with, that I would want to do that for sure. That's like, ooh, am I feeling it? The hard part for me is I just sweat so much in rubber, and sweat and makeup just in general don't mix well over X amount of hours. So it would have to be either like, oh, it's the clown outfit and the nose, or like maybe a little bit of makeup, but full on makeup, full on suit. Like, I don't know, hire me to be a, no, I don't even want to be hired. People have like jokingly said like, oh, we'll hire you for my birthday. I'm like, no, I would do nothing because I don't know how to juggle. I could take a
Yeah.
pie to the face and that's about it.
Your one act show, pie on the face, pay me for the whole night.
Yes, thank you. Good night. I'm sure I could figure out something. But as far as the full clown act, that's when someone would need to hypnotize me and make me into that buffoonery clown for sure. Then we'll see what goes on.
So obviously you've got quite a few clowning items. Do you think you have a favorite item at all in your wardrobe of clownery?
Oh, good question. Yes. Okay, it's a new thing and I love it so much. It's less practical to just play with because it's so clunky, but I love how it looks. That on Etsy, I chatted with this lady who makes the Victorian neck ruffles, and she made me a red PVC clown ruffle for my wrists and my neck. And so they're basically rubber looking, you know, PVC, and they're just shiny red. It's just so iconic rubber clown look for me. And I love it so much.
I have seen you wearing that with your rubber suit that you've got, the one with the stripes.
Yes, I think that's probably my favorite look, just because I love black, white, and red. It's I don't know, I've slowly come into that color scheme, and it works really well for the clown aesthetic. And then just adding a pop of yellow or anything else just makes it more fun. But it's just such a simple, iconic clown trope thing. And I thought, like, there's no one going to be making a latex version that is up to my aesthetic of clown, but I found it, love it, and will forever use it now.
As an experienced kinkster at this point, I'm all for PVC for accessories. People think that everything has to be rubber, but like, there are rubber lookalike things which work so much better practically.
I mean, the one thing that is next on my list that I haven't seen anyone do, but I feel like someone could do, is that sort of cartoony, puffy glove, but like full-on rubberized or PVC pipe style, where it's like, it's not latex glove thickness, but it's not Mickey Mouse glove thickness either. You know, it's somewhere in between, where it's cartoony and thick and bulky, but it's just a good balance.
I know exactly what you're on about, and I have seen something similar, but it was just a cotton one, and it was part of a Mario and Luigi costume off Amazon.
Right.
It was those white puffy gloves, but it actually had some heft to it without being like full-on cartoon Mickey Mouse hand, and I would have loved to have seen that in some PVC. I still might end up just buying the gloves and trying to redo it myself.
I know. I might try to find a friend who could recreate that, because it's the
volume you want.
Part and the volume, yes. That, like, it just has a bit of dimension and volume to it.
Because I've got some really cheap kind of spandex white butler gloves.
Right, right.
And they just, they don't have that heft to them.
Mm-hmm.
You want the puffiness.
Yes, for sure. Where it's not like Mickey Mouse puff, where you can't move it.
Yeah, because I do have some Mickey Mouse gloves, which I got from Disney World.
Oh, see, I got some from eBay, and it was totally like the pirated version. It was like, so the fingers are all janky. It's really bad. I'm going to get rid of them soon.
Well, do not burn them, because I'm sure they have the same flammability of a Halloween costume.
Yes, for sure. No, but that is on my list, is gloves like that. I mean, I love a good clown shoe. I'm so happy with the clown shoes that I got.
I have seen clown shoes on eBay, and I'm always surprised by just how expensive they are, but I guess they are a custom thing, because I see a lot of them saying how they're professional clown shoes.
I don't think they should be worth that much personally, but yeah, like, anytime that you slap professional and clown on it, like, it just jacks up the price. Cause I've tried to see if I could find a traditional, you know, quote unquote regular clown outfit. And anytime they're always, you know, if it's not the flammable Halloween costume, then it's more like a, you know, $200+ clown outfit. I'm like, I don't know, it's not worth that much, and for cotton.
But so how do these shoes make you feel? Like, how much bigger are they than your regular feet?
Oh, they, I mean, I've also had a few guys who were like size 13 put them on, and just like,
for
they're bigger for them.
For our foot fetishist listeners, what size shoe are you?
Ooh, I'm a 10.5, a decent size, whatever that might mean. 10.5, yes.
Well, you know what they say about big feet.
The bigger the clown shoe. But yeah, there's not a clown shoe size, as far as I've looked online, that it's just literally one size fits all, and I love it.
Those are the magic words, aren't they?
Yes. And the shoes that I have, I mean, a friend for a long time, just he has like a good collection of 20 shoes, of clown shoes. And he's like, oh, I've got a few pairs of duplicates. I'll send you some. He's like, great. And paid him for them and everything. And then I found an eBay group. I think it's Clown Mart. But like, they'll make quote unquote professional shoes, but they're sort of a mix between a traditional sneaker or Converse shoe of some kind, plus just clownified. And I've got some Converse clown shoes that have the sort of patch and design of a Converse shoe, like a high top, but then it's just so bulbous and big that it's a clown shoe. Mm-hmm. And the second you step in the shoe, this instant squeak. And this squeakiness adds to that rubber clown aesthetic / sound. Oh, it's so fun. And they're slippery, so they just kind of add to that buffoonery-ness of being a clown. So very much encourage them.
I can't remember where it was, but I swear there was a cartoon where someone's feet grew as they became a clown. I definitely have that visual in my brain.
For sure. Well, I know you did a comic that we had commissioned, and that was the kicker of the transformation. And that's such a good trope of like, oh no, I don't fit into these shoes. Oh, but you're about to fit into them because the feet grow into the shoes.
It's only one of the niche kinks that I have where I love a Bigfoot transformation, where someone's feet 100%. Just grow huge. And it's not anything to do with the actual size of their body. It's just focused on the feet growing. One of the tropes which you can look for is the shoe burst effect.
Oh, yes.
Where when someone grows bigger, their shoes just get torn to pieces.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I love that. And obviously that goes very well with clowns, where you need the proper footwear.
I love it. Yeah, it adds to that whole trope and that whole aesthetic. I don't know where the idea of a big clown shoe came from, but it's very clown. Like they're like,
I imagine it is just the clumsiness that comes with being in shoes too big for you and having to trip over yourself.
Right. Cause then there's tropes of like, oh, there's the big sunglasses and here's big scissors and the clothes are always disproportionate. You're a bit more bulbous. There are some fantastic artists who will do, you know, erotic art and drawings and comics. And sometimes part of the clown transformation is not just the face paint and not just the outfit, but then you're also changing your portions of your body that, you know, you might become more bulbous or you know, your feet enlarge. Stuff like that.
Oh well,
body transformation are fantastic.
I know exactly where the foot thing is in my brain. It was the Goofy movie where Max turns into his dad. That's not going to do clowns, but like that visual of feet growing.
No, 100%. Honestly, that was on the tip of my brain, and I thought, oh, well, maybe. Yeah, no. And then he laughs like Goofy at the end of that. 100%, that is a... And he's embarrassed by it, too. He's like, no, I don't want to become my Goofy dad. Like, yeah. I'm sure someone needs to do a version of that, but make it clown versus into dad.
During the break, you mentioned to me that you also had an Oompa Loompa dream. So please do tell me all about it.
Yes. I had more than one wet dream growing up, and a lot of them were transformation based. And in this dream, my school was going to a chocolate factory as a school tour. And as far as I knew, that it was just this regular chocolate factory, but like they had gotten the rights to Willy Wonka, and it's like, oh, it's Willy Wonka themed and inspired, but it's not actually Willy Wonka. And so part of the tour experience is that you got to dress up as different characters and cast from the movie as you're touring through the factory. And you were sort of just selected a random number and you got to stand in line, and whatever line you're in, you got to put on that costume.
Mm-hmm.
And the majority of the cast is actually the Oompa Loompas. And so a lot of people were lined up there, and that's what I got lined up in. And it was a long, long line. And as you got closer and closer to putting on the Oompa Loompa costume, you actually started to shrink in size and height, and your skin started becoming more and more orange, and the hair became more goofy, and you had this is the like the original movie, Willy Wonka style, not the more recent one with Johnny Depp. But orange skin, white eyebrows, green hair, and then you were given the costume. And then when you went through the next door, actual Willy Wonka on a microphone is like, "Welcome to my factory. You will now work for me." And and it's this, it was all a ploy to get people to turn into Oompa Loompas and work for his factory. And it's like, well, I guess I'm an Oompa Loompa now, making chocolate. And that was the dream.
Well, obviously everyone reads Willy Wonka now as the villain in that whole piece. So him creating some goons is very on brand for him.
Yes. And any sort of media that just like had some sort of face paint that just like changed how you looked was always a turn on, or a fascination at least as a kid. Anytime that there was, I remember following this blog that was all about body paint, and I think it was like they did body paint and would march in specific parades in these local towns, and like would do fundraisers.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember what the actual fundraiser was for, but they had all sorts of old and young people do body paint, and they always did animals. And so there'd be like tigers and a blue tiger and an orange tiger, and it'd be an otter, and just all sorts of different body paint and face paint. I was so fascinated, and I use the word fascinated because I was a good Mormon boy. But yeah, just so captivated by this aesthetic and this look that a lot of stuff inspired a lot of these kinks that I have now.
Well, we are certainly coming towards the end of this podcast interview now. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about in relation to clowns?
I think for me, the general idea of clown as a fetish, I'm hoping that it becomes a bit more streamlined. That, I think niche kink is relative. That as familiar you are with a kink is how niche it can be. And I truly try to have empathy towards others and their kinks. And I also hope the same for me. So I'm hoping one day that this just becomes a bit more familiar for everyone, where it's an easier conversation to have, and respect anyone who has kinks that they're not turned on by. But I think in the end of the day, we can still respect each other's kinks, regardless if we think they are niche or not. I mean, one day I would love to make a almost like a dynamic Venn diagram of a web of kinks, and just you click on one and then it branches out, and here are all the kinks that can be connected to it, and kind of show anyone that if you're not into a kink, you might be 2 or 3 degrees away from liking this kink, or at least being connected to it. That, I'm not into ABDL. Oh, but you like BDSM, and you like that dom control, and you like humiliation, which can be into piss play, and you're now 1 degree off of ABDL. Just anything can connect to anything else if you try hard enough. Like a visual infographic of, like, here's a bunch of data and break down a whole bunch of things. I would love to do like a kinky infographic.
Well, as a clown, you must love pie charts.
But I'm thump. Love it.
I'm absolutely going to put in a sound effect right there.
That's a good zinger right there.
Well, as I said at the very beginning, clowns seem to have been around in the fetish world for actually quite some time, at least in the niche fictional aspects of it, because I remember as a younger teen going onto websites like writing.com, where there'd be a lot of erotica based on cartoons of the time. So I remember specifically some about like The Simpsons. Or even Pokemon, where the characters would end up turning into clowns in some way. And this was like in the noughties and stuff being written in the 90s. So the sexualization of clowns has definitely been going on for a very long time, and the internet just lets people show that off a bit and explore it.
100%.
But it was always very strange to me that this was such a popular thing. Because it's an incredibly unusual thing to be fetishizing, but as we've been talking through this whole interview, it is that complete loss of control and surrendering to the humiliation of becoming simpler.
100%. I always, like, it's a big world out there, so there's a lot out there, and I'm so curious to see, you know, the next thing I'll discover. Is it? It's never just one kink. There's always more to discover, more to enjoy.
Okie dokes then. Well, let's go on to my final question, which I end every episode on. If I handed you a tall glass of fetish fuel, what would it taste like? What would it look like? What is fetish fuel to you?
Ooh, for me, this fetish fuel placed in front of me, this is a tall, very shiny, clear glass of like a birthday cake shake. And it's got just this huge, shiny red cherry on top and just a little bit of a black smile with chocolate syrup. That is what fetish fuel looks like to me.
I am reminded of the goober ice creams from the SpongeBob SquarePants movie. The triple goober berry sunrise.
Yes, basically that in milkshake form. Yes.
This has been a really fun interview, genuinely.
This has been fun. It's been good chatting.
I really love hearing about kinks that I'm not very familiar with. And clowns are a very niche one in terms of what you see on the scene and out there.
For me, I think one of the funnest things has been being able to make content for this kinky clown stuff, because it's hard to find.
When it comes to niche kinks, it does come down to if you want to see more of something in the world, you have to be the one who is fanning that flame.
Anything I can do to fan the flame, because it's been really fun to, you know, receive some messages here and there of, like, oh, I didn't know this was a fetish, or like, ooh, like, now I'm getting turned on by this.
Thank you so much for coming on and talking about clowns. I definitely feel like I've learned a lot more about your perspective on it and why you do find it so horny.
Thank you for having me on. This has been wonderful.
And I hope that the next episode I do isn't going to be another 6 months from now.
Yes.
Because I have been getting some really wonderful messages from people asking when the next episode is going to be. But it's just been, I've been so busy with other stuff.
I'll be waiting. I'm excited.
I do think that this podcast is worth doing to talk about these niche kinks and where people pick them up from. Are there any kinks you're waiting to see pop up?
I mean, I would love just a general pop play episode, or even rubberization in general. That is, like, any sort of living latex, or, like, say, even venom specific. Like, if you have someone on a guest star for a day like that, I'm here for it.
It is certainly up on the list. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Fetish Fuel, hosted by Spacebub Silver, guest starring Rubber Shadow, produced by Matt Clark.